Kylie McGrane Zarnock was destined to inspire. Coming from a close family in northeastern Pennsylvania, she realized the importance of giving back at an early age. Her nonprofit, A Moment of Magic, brings a lot of smiles to children not only regionally, but across the country. Kylie takes her story from here.
A Moment of Magic is a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to bring joy and to improve the mental health and well-being of children and families with medical vulnerabilities.
Your joy came from sorrow.
It did. My grandparents were hospitalized long-term, and my grandparents passed away within 2 weeks of each other after 65 years of marriage, and it was my first month of my freshman year of college, and I moved from northeastern Pennsylvania to New York City. And I didn't know anyone at school. I didn't have a community yet. I didn't have friends on campus. And I didn't have a support system there yet. And I just kept thinking, you know, how do I handle all of these big emotions? And I kept thinking about their legacy. And my grandparents were so involved in the community. And I thought about the hospital. And, you know, those are my favorite memories with my grandparents at the end of their life. And I thought that was very ironic that my favorite memories for them in the hospital and the time we spent together. Those big milestones, I would go visit them before prom and I'd be in my big dress. And that's kind of what inspired me to get a princess dress and go to the first pediatric hospital. And then going on that first pediatric hospital visit, I left the hospital and I really saw the impact that it made on one individual family. And from there, the pediatric cancer community specifically is so small that one family would post about it on Facebook and I would get a message from another family and it would be a family from across the country and they would ask if I could come visit their child. And the hardest response was to say no, you know, I could do something on FaceTime, but that's not the same as being there in person. So from the beginning, it was really clear to me that this mission was always bigger than me dressing up as a princess. So how could I get other young people involved? And as soon as that was clear, the vision for the organization was really clear. And I was on a mission to get it to the point where colleges around the country could establish chapters and we could recruit and train local college student volunteers and then partner them with local children's hospitals to impact their local community.
Tell me what your background is in. Are you a teacher? Are you a nurse?
I'm neither. And when I started the organization, I was a college sophomore. So I was 20 years old. I was studying English and communication. So that wasn't a career I necessarily saw myself getting involved in. I always was very involved in community service. My parents are both teachers. They were very active in the community. Volunteerism was a huge part of how I grew up and something that my parents instilled in a young age. So it was very natural and organic for me to get involved in this way.
You brought a little bit of fantasy to a very real life situation and made things a lot better for so many families.
Thank you for saying that. You know, I think children that are hospitalized specifically, a lot of their normalcy changes overnight. As soon as they receive any kind of diagnosis, suddenly their classmates are replaced with doctors and nurses, and after school activities are replaced with doctor's appointments. And to be able to bring volunteers who look like their friends and their peers into their space to treat them as kids and not patients, that really makes a difference in their treatment plan. And that's really what we're hoping to do.
So now that you've established this nonprofit, this moment of magic that you bring to children in hospitals, do you go and speak with doctors first? Are they on a per case basis, or do you just show up and try to make them happy?
We work extensively with what's called a child life department. So typically, most hospitals have a pediatric floor, or maybe it's a child hospital or a pediatric hospital in general will have a child life department, and they organize all of the activities that really focus on quality of life and patient engagement. And child life really, they are the advocates and unsung heroes in the pediatric space. They really are who we rely on to help us cater each activity and each visit to the best needs of the hospital. So we will work with children that are medically complex, to children that have pediatric cancer, to emergency room departments. So every visit looks different and unique, and we want to cater it to the needs of that individual child and that individual hospital. And Child Life really helps us do that.
Well, I'm a big child at heart, so if I were in a hospital and I was feeling pretty down, What could I expect from a moment of magic?
We would go in and we really let the child lead. So we go in and we introduce ourselves and then we have the child lead those activities. So we come fully equipped with books and story time and sing-alongs and arts and crafts. And we let the child make the decision of how that visit is going to go from there. When you are a child that has any kind of medical complexity, so much of your choice is taken away. So to be able to give them the opportunity to say, you know, today I feel like coloring, or today I feel like doing a story time, or today I want to just talk about the things that I'm experiencing and show you how I'm feeling through play, because that's how a child communicates and learns and shares and experiences the world. That really is powerful. So that's what we do. We say that we're a child-led organization, and we really follow the lead of the kids that we interact with.
When you do have people that are definitely having a good time with you, because all of a sudden you just brought a little bit of life and color into their lives, definitely they want you to come back, and they say, could you come back tomorrow or whenever? Do you have a specific schedule?
So we work with a lot of hospitals to really become part of their continuum of care, and that's something I'm really proud of. You know, when our kids are going through treatment, they have expected days when their occupational therapist is going to come in or their speech therapist is going to come in. And now they have expected days when their A Moment of Magic volunteers are going to come in and see them and lead, you know, mental health activities, or their favorite princess is going to come in. And that's something that they can look forward to. And we love being able to have these longstanding hospital partnerships where we are there and a part of their schedule and a part of their healing journey. And a story that I love to tell is we have a chapter at Westchester University, and they had a visit with a little girl that was going through treatment for leukemia. And they threw an event, and the little girl was like, you know, did you plan this party? Did you put all of this together? And they said, we did. We planned all of this. And she said, can you plan my birthday party? And they did. And they planned a whole birthday party for this little girl. That just goes to show, you know, the relationships that we form with these families are something that we consider a privilege. And when we make a promise to a family, we continue to show up for them.
There are cases where you're bringing tremendous joy to families, but then there are the realities that sometimes the children get sick, sometimes they die. How do you honor their memory?
I think to start really making sure that our volunteers are prepared for the situations that they're walking into. So making sure that our volunteers are trained properly before they ever walk into a hospital room is really critically important, both to understand the types of medical illnesses that we are working with and what they can expect in walking into those hospital rooms, but also the emotional weight that comes from secondary trauma and how to take care of themselves as volunteers is really important to us. You know, if we're going to prioritize mental health, it has to encompass the entire community. And then when it comes to actually working with the families, we try to meet our families wherever they're at on those journeys. So whether it's making a wish come true for an end-of-life care visit, or even supporting siblings and families in bereavement, we will continue to show up for families wherever they are and whatever capacity feels comfortable to them. And we will honor and pay homage to that comfort level that they have.
If you're really connecting yourselves with the lives of this child and their families.
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that's really unique about what we do is we're talking about mental health, but the way that we're talking about it includes the color and the glitter and the princesses and the crowns. And I think that that's what makes it approachable to children and families. That's what gets the conversation going and makes them feel like it is a safe space to start these conversations, because there still is a stigma around mental health. We do a lot of work in the pediatric cancer community, and we actually do a lot of research in that space as well. And something that we found is that especially for children with pediatric cancer is that they actually won't ask for help when it comes to mental health, because they look at everything through a comparative lens of pediatric cancer. So if they have anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder or even depression or survivor's guilt, they're looking at it as if they're comparing it to pediatric cancer and it's not as severe. So if we can make it more approachable and community-based and peer-led, that might be the first step in asking for help and connecting them to resources and avoiding crisis in the future.
You're dealing with these young families, you're dealing with these young children. What kind of strength do you see in them?
I think when you walk into the room of a child that is battling cancer, the really remarkable thing is they could have gone through surgery yesterday. They could have gone through chemotherapy that morning, and they're ready to play. They want to get up and they want to be a kid, and they just need that opportunity. And, you know, they're not always going to feel 100%, but they always need the experience to just be a kid. And that's what we're really trying to provide them. They get really great medical care. And what we're trying to do is supplement that medical care with that human touch and that experience of how do we make the hospital also have positive associations with play and community and friendship and joy. And if we can supplement that, you know, as they continue to go throughout their journey, when they're going back for checkups or supplemental treatments, if we can provide a positive association of, you know, it wasn't just chemotherapy that I went to the hospital for, but I also met my new friend there, or I also met a princess. That is a really powerful experience. So for us, you know, it's always a privilege walking into those hospital rooms and getting to experience and meet the families that we do. But there is nothing like working with the children that we get to work with, because they redefine resilience and bravery and strength every single day.
Since you have a lot of young people that are doing the visits, of course, they have to have specific training and so forth. But what do they get out of it?
I get to watch 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-olds who are just starting out in college, often in their first leadership roles or sometimes their first volunteer opportunities, really step into themselves and experience a different type of giving back. This is a very hands-on way to give back. It's not just the breadth of the number of children we're impacting. Last year, we impacted nearly 20,000 children. So we're impacting huge numbers of children, but it's also the depth in which we're impacting them, which I think is really special. You're walking into the room of someone who is a stranger, and you walk out a friend, and you get to see these young people instantly see that, you know, you can make an impact and you're seeing it. All it takes is that will to try, the will to show up and put yourself out there. And it is hard work. You know, it is a lot of training. It's showing up consistently, but they're doing it. And I think that they are, you know, our boots on the ground, and they're our change makers, and they really want to be the change. And these are our future doctors and nurses and teachers, and they are seeing the patient experience from a different angle before they even step into a clinical role. And I think that that's really remarkable. So if we can be a small chapter in who they are and discovering who they're going to be, I mean, that's just the greatest compliment.
Do you ever sit down and talk with your group if there's ever something that is a really intense case, people coming back after they have had the coloring session, or maybe they made the child smile or the family smile, and they came back and they just felt so drained because of the experience? Do you ever have sit-downs and talk to them?
We do. We have a program called Express Create Heal, and it's specifically for the pediatric cancer community. And it's a volunteer-led program where we teach coping and resilience skills to children that are affected by pediatric cancer, whether they're currently in treatment, in remission, or siblings. When we were crafting our Express Create Heal program specifically, we worked with a medical advisory committee of mental health professionals and people that work in the pediatric oncology space and families themselves. And one thing we really wanted to prepare for are these honest conversations and giving kids space to have them with their own community, you know, especially our teens. They don't always have the space to share how they're feeling openly. But something that we heard a lot was, this is how I feel being the kid with cancer. And being able to give them that space to be honest with each other was really refreshing. We wanted our volunteers to be able to facilitate those conversations in a way that was responsible.
Is there any age bracket that you stop at?
We typically go, I would say, from 3 to 18, but even some of our Express Create Heal programs will go up to 22. we find that there sometimes can be a little bit of a gap as we go into AYA or young adult care, especially as kids are transitioning from pediatric to adult care. We want to try to continue to create spaces where there is community, because community is so important. So we really will cater to the organizations that we're partnering with, to what they see as the best need. Sometimes pediatric hospitals are different. Some hospitals actually will serve kids up to age 24. So we don't have a hard end age, but that's typically within the range that we fall. You know, our goal is to eventually put ourselves out of business, right? To live in a world where childhood cancer doesn't exist, or childhood illness doesn't exist, or we don't have to be here. But until we get to that point, we have to be a critical piece of the treatment journey. So helping frame it in that way to our volunteers and making sure they know how important what they're doing is. And even if we can't change the diagnosis, we are changing the trajectory of that child's story by being a critical part of their treatment journey, making sure they understand how important they are in that journey and that they're taking care of themselves so they can be around and being a part of the organization.
And you're not only helping the child, but you're also helping the moms and the dads and the older brothers and sisters help cope with what's going on with their younger sibling. You're giving them that little respite they need.
You know, there's not a week that goes by where I don't get an email or a social media post where a parent doesn't share with us a photograph or, you know, a message that says, "This is the first time I saw my child smile during treatment this week," or "This was the first time we got to see them just be a kid and not be a cancer patient." And I think so often for these families, when they hear the words, you know, "Your child has insert disease here," they can be the child with this complex medical issue. We give them an experience where they just get to be a kid. They are not a cancer patient. They are not the child that has to go to chemo. They are just the child. And I think that that's really important for parents to be able to take a step back and be able to breathe and just see their child through that light that often is taken away by medical issues or challenges. Our mission is really, really simple, but it's really profound and impactful.
What do you feel in your position, having created this nonprofit organization, what has moved you most about watching it move forward, watching your staff feel, bring joy? How does it make you feel?
There is not a day that goes by where I don't feel incredibly grateful for the community that we've built, that feels so strongly in the mission that we believe in and work towards every day. And I think the thing about being a founder of an organization, you know, it is very easy for me to close my eyes and instantly transport back to my dorm room when I could see what this organization was going to be 10 years out before I had any proof of concept. And still now I can see where we're going to go down the line. And now we're continuing to build this community that can see what we're going towards and how we're continuing to build. And for me as a founder of the organization, it's having other people believe in what you're building and building it alongside of you is really special. Having people love what you love so much and spending their time on it, having hospital partners from almost all 50 states across the country, that is a really incredible opportunity and something I'm so grateful for. So gratitude is the underselling how I feel, but that's the word that I keep going back to. It's just, I feel very lucky to be able to do what we do.
Where is your home base?
I'm currently based in New York City. I grew up here and we have two chapters here. We have a chapter at Misericordia and a chapter at Wilkes, and we have 30 chapters across the country.
And that came from an idea as a student.
It came as an idea as a student. So if you're a young person listening to this, never underestimate what you can do and what you can turn your ideas into.
How do we get in touch with you, and what is your contact information? How do we go about getting that moment of magic?
Absolutely. There are so many ways to get involved in the organization. So go visit our website, www.amomentofmagic.org. You can find our contact email, our website, all of our information there.
This idea came to you as a college student, a comm major. When I'm listening to you, you have such a wonderful knowledge of psychology and making sure that your volunteers are taken care of. Do you ever think you'd like to go back to school and get a psychology degree and just continue pursue that kind of path?
especially being the daughter of two educators, I think I have a lifelong love of education. I would never say no to going back to school for anything. I don't know what I would pursue. I have so many different interests. And I think something that I've really taken a lot of time on, especially the last few years with developing a few of our different programs, has been diving more into the research and trying to ensure that our programs are evidence-based and we get people around the table that are experts in their space. One thing that I've loved is being able to build a team that are experts. So I work with someone that is pursuing their doctorate in psychosocial oncology, which is such a niche space, but she's so excellent. And then I have someone on my team that is actually a pediatric brain tumor survivor herself, and she's studying to be a pediatrician. So having a team that teach me things, and that's just been such a joy in and of itself as well.
This wonderful idea, how do you feel it has strengthened you as a human being, and where do you see it going from here?
To answer the first part of your question, I'm endlessly inspired by the families that we work with. And one of the families that we've had the privilege of supporting over the last few years, the mom of a little girl shared with us that a moment is an increment of time that's about 90 seconds. And I think about that a lot, especially in the context of our name, A Moment of Magic. And when I think about 90 seconds, that really is all it takes sometimes for us to walk into a room and, as I said, you know, go from a stranger to a friend. And I think that's about as long as it can take for us to change the trajectory of somebody's day. And that could be in a moment of magic or outside of it. You know, it's holding the door for someone. It's letting someone pass you on the road. It's deciding to be kind and give a compliment. So for me, it's just, how do we make the kind choice? How do we do the nice thing? And how do we try to make it a domino effect where one nice action inspires another? That's kind of the ethos that I try to live by, is how do we create these moments of magic or these pockets of joy everywhere we can? And what I hope we're building towards, we started with a really simple idea. We started with a Prince House dress and a hospital visit and hoping that we could make one day brighter for one child. And that's still what we're trying to do. And as I look to the future, you know, my goal is to look at the healthcare system, especially for children, and try to find ways that we can make it more human. How do we find ways to infuse heart and joy and community to ensure that no matter where you are, what your zip code is, what your insurance status is, you have ways to have support. You have access to mental health. You have access to community. You have access to education and resources, because there are excellent community-based solutions out there, and we want to be one of them. And that's really what our goal is.
How do you prevent yourself from burning out?
It's a great question. I'm so passionate about the work that I do. Not burning out has been a lesson over the last 10 years. And I think the number one key for me has been the team that I have, whether it's my volunteers or our board of directors or even my family and my community around me. Having people that support me both as an employee or a business leader, but also as a person, has been really critically important. My team is so inspiring, and they are also so passionate about what we do, that if one day I can only give 20%, they'll say, don't worry about it, we can give 80 today. So that's been really important. And then just my community around me, whether it's my husband or my family or my friends, they've been so great about picking me up and giving me the motivation that I need. That's been really, really important for me, to kind of ground myself in the why we do what we do, and taking a step back and, you know, reading those emails and looking at the photos and talking to the families and recentering on the mission and how do we make this sustainable so we can be around long term. And I think watching my parents be so involved in the community and the way that they raised me, and how they really made sure that we looked after each other, but also they made so many moments so special for us. I was very lucky to have the people around me that I did from such a young age.
If we wanted to ask you about the secret sauce of A Moment of Magic, I mean, you've given us a lot of the recipes so far, and it's hard work. But if you could give us one little tidbit as to how can we create a moment of magic for a person who might be ill or having a hard time, how can we do it?
I think one way is really listening, offering a few things can be really helpful. Really, the small things matter most. And I think continuing to show up throughout the journey, no matter what that journey is, that's where community might not always be showing up, and that's where community is really needed. So making sure that we're showing up throughout that entire journey and checking in, if it's just a text to say, you're on my mind, I'm thinking of you, that could be a big difference, and giving grace where you can as well.
An extraordinary conversation with an extraordinary young woman, Kylie McGrane-Zarnock, founder of A Moment of Magic, bringing smiles to children not only regionally, but across the country. A hopeful inspiration, to be sure. For WBIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.